This is TWiT.
When it comes to cybersecurity, that whole mindset of assume breach helps you kind of kickstart your campaign to fight the darkness. Now, cyber attacks are super expensive. We all know that, and they're on the rise. They're moving up. They're coming more and more often. Now, the question is, where are businesses falling short, and when it comes to protecting themselves? Well, I'm going to start a short discussion here with my co-host, because there's a short list here. There's a five items. But I don't know necessarily think these are the only five items. So let's go through a couple of them. The first one being patching cadence. Now, you aren't doing, like, you're not patching fast enough in this case in an organization. So because of the size of the network, sometimes people propagate updates or patches slowly. And so that tends to mean that they patch more slowly. Sometimes IT organizations are worried that, hey, if I go and update a system, it's going to break some of my other critical applications that I need. So they kind of weigh the difference between whether I should update or not update. But in this case, weighing between an issue versus a zero-day exploit, you kind of might want to choose the system side. But again, that a lot of organizations kind of go back and forth with that. Okay, number two, relying on antivirus is just too strong. Well, that's true. A lot of organizations kind of rely on these perimeter systems like firewalls and antivirus systems to protect them from, you know, especially email. And I think that's kind of a losing battle here. Once hackers infiltrate that perimeter, they have free reign of your assets. Even if you want to prevent email-based attacks, sometimes you have to stay away from things like attachments, where you have to use third-party storage companies and so on for attachments. So that's another one big issue. Number three, your users are unaware. They're not actually aware that they're of cybersecurity and what needs to be done. You have to go and train your users. You have to make them more aware, understand the signals, such as phishing attacks. If they're not unaware and they're uninformed, sometimes they're not looking for these things. You have to communicate the risks to your users and what to look for to help your business. Number four, accept the inevitable. Assume breach. Plan for the worst. Understand that you have possibly been already hacked, and go and take action. Monitor, report, resolve. So those are just five. Now, guys, I want to throw it over to you, because obviously these are not the only five, but in this particular article saying, hey, this could be some things that could definitely help organizations. Is there something missing, Cheever? I want to start with you. Is there something missing from this list? Is it a good list?
It's a good start. I've got a problem with number one, but let's go and add one first. And my thing is, I hate perimeter everything. You should no longer be assuming that anything behind the corporate firewall is safe. It's not. We really ought to be running more zones. Even if it's something as simple as just hacking up the collision domain so you get better performance, as long as you have multiple zones so that you have more areas to examine data in your IDS IPS system, I think that's a good thing, and it does not cost a lot of money. VLANs are easy, folks. Now, I do have a little bit of problem with number one, patching cadence. You know, while I say, yeah, we should patch quickly, we should update quickly and so forth, the problem is the number one reason why I run a draft system is because patches break apps. And so I'm a big believer in using the Windows Update Server so that I can roll them out at my pace and test it against my draft system to find out whether something's broken or not. I know it sounds like an awful lot of work, but if you have custom apps or you're running a DevOps system and your bread and butter is dependent upon these apps, I think you really ought to consider, you know, taking a hard look at running something like Windows Update Server so that you can more closely control when you roll those apps out. But that's my opinion.
It's a good opinion. I want to throw over to Kurt too, because I think obviously, like you said, it's not the only list. Kurt, what do you think? Is it a good list? Should we add to it? Should we subtract from it maybe?
I don't know about subtracting from it. I think that it's a good place to start. And I think that there are things like the patching and updating cadence that I would amend. I would start with just patch. So many of the massive malware outbreaks that we have seen come from companies that don't patch. You know, this says that you're not patching fast enough. I think patching within the same calendar year that the patch or update is issued is probably a good thing. That's a good thing to have on your list. We know that there are systems that haven't been fully patched and updated for a decade or more, and that is in today's world absolutely begging for trouble. You know, there are methodologies like DevOps and now the DevSecOps that look to solve some of these problems because they roll everything together. They break down the barriers between development, security, and operations and try to make sure that we are patching more regularly, that we are building security into software more regularly, and that we are, to use the terminology of DevOps, treating everything as software. In other words, no matter what it is, we treat it as something that can be patched, updated, and revved quickly as needed. I think those are really good ideas. But the one that I keep coming back to, the one that's on your list, is those pesky users. You know, I haven't worked for a company that has not had some sort of anti-phishing training as part of its onboarding for a decade or more. And most companies, in fact, do have some anti-phishing, anti-bad behavior built into their corporate training. And yet it just doesn't get through. And I'm not sure whether that's because the users aren't convinced of the importance or something that I have begun to see as a bigger issue. A huge number of the employees out there who are working with corporate systems are doing things by rote. That's why a company like Microsoft, that is on so many enterprise desktops, has to think long and hard before they make even the slightest change to a menu or dropdown. Because if they do that, they know that their customers are going to have to retrain employees, and that gets really expensive. So if we can figure out that layer 8 user interface issue and incorporate more of a mindset that makes changes along the way, I think that we will take many of the problems that we deal with and at least reduce their severity.